Isaiah sings a song of praise in Isaiah 26 verses 1 to 5. This is what the Bible says. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its oars and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it to the dust. This is the word of the Lord. God, we thank you, for you are lifted high above all things. I pray, God, that our faith, our trust will be lifted high as we are looking into this passage. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go ahead and take a seat. Welcome to Flood. My name is Humphreys, the lead pastor here. And we are going through this sermon series. This is actually the last message of the sermon series entitled Holding Nothing Back, where we are removing the unnecessary in our lives so that we can have a clear view of Jesus. And today, I want to talk on this topic. We encounter Jesus more when we choose trust over control. We encounter Jesus more when we choose trust over control. And I hope you guys could be encouraged this morning to step out in faith, to trust God, who is good to all of us. I don't know if you have ever been in a situation where you jump into something and you had high hopes for it, but you jump into it and it was looking great when you were on the outside, and you get in it and it's not as good as it seemed, or it's not as beautiful as it seemed. It's not as amazing as you thought was gonna be. You know, your expectations are now shattered, and you're like, man, I'm not getting what I thought I was promised I would get. Ever happened to you? Yeah? All right. But let's welcome you guys. Good to have you in our church this morning. In October 2015, I remember we took a trip. Myself, Kate, who is now my wife, and two of our friends, we took a trip to the northern part of Mozambique. This is called Ilha de Mozambique. There's an island there called Ilha de Mozambique. So we went there. Beautiful place, beautiful scenery. And I remember just like looking at this amazing and beautiful beach out there in Mozambique. It was absolutely beautiful. It was my first time to see the ocean, but also my first time to actually get into the ocean. It was scorching hot, like I think about 40 degrees Celsius. You know how while we say like, you know, black people don't get sunburned? It's a lie. You know, I got sunburned. I needed sunscreen. Like that's how insane it was, how hot it was there. You know, so imagine I am like standing and seeing, looking at this beautiful, amazing body of water. You know, the only thing that I could think of that day was like, going to the Lake Malawi on an amazing and beautiful day when the lake is just calm and blue and beautiful, you know? That's how it is. That's how it looked, if you can see it in that picture. And it was so amazing. So I'm holding this bottle of Coca-Cola because it was so hot. I'm cooling myself. But I see this water. I'm like, I just need to get in, and I just need to jump in. So, you know what? I run into the ocean. Now, I've never been into the ocean. And when I jumped in there, 2 seconds in, I get out. And guess what? My eyes are burning. My mouth tastes disgusting because it's not fresh water. It's salty water that's in there. I got the shock of my life because I was thinking it's going to be the same as Lake Malawi, you know? It's like, imagine you have taken like 2 tablespoons of sugar, put in your tea, you take a sip, and you realize it's not sugar, but salt. Yeah, that's how it felt. You know, that's how it felt for me, yeah? And I think in life it happens like that sometimes, that you get into something that on the outside it looked beautiful and amazing, and you had expectations of jumping into fresh water. But you realize it's actually salty water. Now, I'm not saying the ocean is bad, But it took me by surprise on that, you know. When I got into that, when I got in and got out, and I was shocked. And it can happen to you that your expectations are actually never met. This is my daughter, in case you're wondering. I know exactly what she wants. Coco Melanie. Yeah? Okay. All right. Sorry, guys. A parenting moment right now. All right. Baby Shark. Awesome. That's Tembi, Miss Tembi right there. But there are times when your dreams or your expectations are actually never met. And when your expectations are not met, you get disappointed. And you find yourself, you know, becoming afraid to trust again. And you find yourself being anxious or non-committal, becoming confused because your expectations we never met. Things never really worked out the way you wanted them to work out. And here you are, you find yourself in a time, in a moment of a crisis. And when we're in a season of crisis, you realize that the foundation that you had, that you were standing on, wasn't as stable as you thought it was. You know, it's shaking. And you're gripped with fear and despair and anxiousness. Someone coined a phrase, non-anxious presence. I like it a lot. That when we're in a world where we are tempted to fear, in a world where we are filled with uncertainties, we can actually live anxious lives. But then, because we have God, we can actually be a non-anxious presence. And for you and I, we can only be in an anxious presence if we look up to God, who is the non-anxious presence in our lives. That we look up to our God. And when God is in your life, you know I have something that's beautiful and stable. Now, when you're in a moment of crisis, you can see a crisis as just like a problem that I've got. Or you can see it as an opportunity. The first thing is that a crisis can be an opportunity that exposes certain idols in your life. An idol is anything good that you have turned into a God thing. You know, as Tim Keller calls it, that actually we can turn good things in our lives to be God things in our lives. And in a moment of crisis, you know, God can come in and expose an idol in your life, because a crisis shows what's lacking, but at the same time, a crisis will expose what's broken in you. So you can see it as an opportunity to be like, wait a minute, what is this showing me? What's there in me? Maybe I've made good life an idol. Maybe I've made money an idol. I have made these good things as idols. And when a crisis happens, you can actually expose those idols in you. But also, a crisis can be an opportunity for God to show up. A crisis can be an opportunity for you to experience God deeply. Now, I want to look into this passage of Isaiah that we have just read this morning. Isaiah 26, verses 1 to 5. That for you to experience God deeply in a time of crisis, you need, number one, to look at God's power. Look at God's power. Verses 1 says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Look at God's power. Looking at God's power reminds you that your trust is not in the things that help you thrive, but in a God who makes you thrive. Your trust is not in the things that help you thrive, but in a God who makes you thrive. And when you are reading this passage, Isaiah, kind of like at first, it sounds like he's glorifying the city, where he says, we have a strong city. We have a strong city. But immediately, he says, but God makes salvation. God makes salvation. Their salvation will never come from the strong city. Their salvation is not going to come from their strong walls or their fortresses or their castles. Their salvation comes from God, because it is God who makes salvation. It is God who saves. Your trust should never ever be built on the things that help you thrive, but on a God who makes you thrive. Because it's easy for us to look at the things that we've got and then either have trust or not. It's easy for you to look at your bank account, the balance in there, and to say, praise God, because it's looking good, right? Oh, I am done. Like, if it's looking good, like, hey, I'm good, praise God. But if your bank balance is looking like the number of an area in Lilongwe, you're just like, ah, I'm done, right? You're in despair. It's easy for us to let the stuff that we have give us hope or suck hope out of us. But actually, the stuff that you have shouldn't influence your trust in God. Your trust in God is never built in the things that help you thrive, but in a God who makes you thrive. Because salvation comes from God. So you can trust in God's power to save. You can look at God's power. You can trust in His power to save. Salvation comes from God. So you can trust that God, through His power, will rescue me. God, through His power, will grow seeds even in the dry land. God, through His power, will save the hopeless. God, through His power, will provide for His people. God, through His power, will give grace even in the hardship. God, through His power, will protect the vulnerable. Salvation comes from God, not in the things we have or the things we don't even have. Salvation comes from God. So look at God's power, because when you look at God's power, you'll be reminded that it's not the things that you can put your trust in, but in the God who makes you thrive. Not only do we need to look at God's power, number two, for you to experience God deeply in a time of crisis, you need to look at God's ability. Look at God's ability. Verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Looking at God's ability reminds you that your trust is not built in what you can do for yourself, but in what God can do for you. God is able to keep you in perfect peace. Why? Because God is perfect, and He will keep you in perfect peace. I remember there was a day when a young lady in our church lost her dad, and she called me, like, hey, I just lost my dad today. And I was devastated, because in the week, I had gone to pray with her dad, and he was looking better. We were actually talking about when he was going to be getting out of the hospital. So it was shocking to me to hear that he passed on that day. So anyway, I went to be with this young lady to be an encouragement to her. So I went there, but I had nothing to say. But I went there, I just said, you know what, can I just pray with you? Because I cannot imagine being you in this situation. So now I pray with her, and I told her at the end, like, hey, we're standing with you, and we want to be with you on this journey of grief. And when I say that, she said, you know what, thank you, Humphreys, for saying that, but I just want to tell you one thing. Like, I am feeling this deep sense of peace right now. Like, I'm sad, but deeply, I'm actually just sensing this deep peace. I have this peace in God. And you know that moment when you went to encourage somebody and then you come out encouraged? Like, it was me, you know? I went to encourage them, but actually I was the one who was encouraged. And you cannot really explain that. And in a moment, in the midst of loss, that God keeps His daughter in perfect peace. In perfect peace. So we can look at God's ability, because God is able to give you peace even in the midst of a crisis. Now, we cannot manufacture this peace. You and I cannot manufacture it. We cannot even wish ourselves into this peace. God's perfect peace comes from God alone. He's the source of this peace. God is the one who keeps his people in perfect peace. How is this possible? That which is impossible with man, it is possible with God. And God will keep you in perfect peace, even in a time of crisis. So you can look towards his ability, that God is actually able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can imagine or think. So we look at God's ability. Not only do we look at God's ability, number three, for you to experience God deeply in a time of crisis, look at God's peace. Look at God's peace. I'll read verse 3 again. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Looking at God's peace reminds you that your trust is not built in a life without chaos, but in the one who is with you even in the chaos. Your trust is never built in life without chaos. But actually, it's built in the one who is with you, even in the chaos. Because God's perfect peace is never dependent on the availability of chaos. God's peace is dependent on the availability of God's presence in your life. God is here, and he is with you. Now, I need to note here the kinds of people that experience the perfect peace of God. The prophet says two things. Number one, he says, you'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Those whose minds are steadfast. In other words, that means those whose minds are fixed on God. Those whose minds are fixed on God. Those people will be kept in perfect peace. Number two, those who trust in you. Those who trust in you will be kept in perfect peace. What that means is that there's a promise. The promise is that you'll be kept in perfect peace. But then the promise has a premise or a foundation that it stands on. And the foundation is that of trust and fixing eyes on God. That's the premise. That's the foundation. And if you're going to fix your eyes on God, if you're going to trust God, then you will experience God's perfect peace. Because God has promised it. God has promised it. And there'll be a lot of things in your life that will make you move away from focusing on God. There'll be things in your life that will keep you away from focusing on trusting in God. Because pain is actually selfish. And they just throw a brick on your toe. And realize what's going to happen. Like all of your attention is going to go away to the toe, right? Because pain says, me, look at me, right? You can be selfish. Therefore moves us away from focusing on God, fixing our eyes on God, trusting in his peace. So God will keep you in perfect peace if you choose to trust in him, if you choose to focus on him. The good news is that God desires this peace for you. He desires it. He desires it for you. And he has it available that you can actually live in his peace, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, even in the chaos. Not only do we need to look at God's peace, number four, for you to experience God deeply in a time of crisis, look at God's stability. Look at God's stability. Verse 4 says, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Is the rock eternal. Looking at God's stability reminds you that your trust is not built on stable conditions, but in the stability of God. That your trust is not built in stable conditions, but in God's stability. The Bible says he is the rock, eternal rock. What that means is that God can never be shaken. He can never be moved. He can never be moved. Now, you might be surrounded by the things that can move you. You might be surrounded by the things that can shake you. But God will never be shaken, and he will never be moved. I don't know your situation, whatever you're going through. But maybe it could be somebody here, you're in a situation that's shaking your marriage. It could be somebody here, you're in a situation that's shaking your workplace. And your job is on the line. There might be somebody here, you're in a situation that's shaking your relationship with your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter. There might be somebody here, you're in a situation that's shaking your ability to provide or your ability to help. Whatever situation you're in, even though these things might shake you, maybe some of you to the point of leaving you fearful and anxious, but you can look up to Jesus, who is the Lord and the rock eternal. He's the rock that can never be moved or be shaken. So your trust is not in how stable your condition is, but is in the stability of God, who can never be shaken. Your trust is not in how promising that job is or how marketable your skills are. Your trust is in God. Your trust is not in how stable the economy is. Your trust is in God, the rock. Your trust is in God's stability. So then when you look at God, you remember that, you know what, I will be okay. Even when I'm being shaken or things around me are being shaken, but I will be okay. I will be okay not because I cannot be moved, but because I have a God who cannot be moved. So I will be okay. He is the rock eternal. You know, Jesus rocks harder than Dwayne. You get it? You get it? Yeah? Because he's the rock, right? He's the rock. He can never be moved. He is the rock that can never be shaken. That can never be shaken. Now, there's no difficult situation that can even shake God out of your life. Right? It's not that God can never be shaken, but he can never be moved out of your life as well. Because God is committed to you. God is here to stay. He's here to last. Because he's faithful. And he will move with you. He will walk with you. He is stable. He is the rock. Not only do we need to look at God's stability. Number five, for you to experience God deeply in a time of crisis, look at God's throne. Look at God's throne. Verse 5 says, he humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it to the dust. Looking at God's throne reminds you that your trust is not built in good situations, but in a good God. Our good God sits on the throne, and he is in charge, and he is in control. And the reason why often we find ourselves being anxious, fearful, or in despair is because we forget that actually God is in charge and he's in control. And he's sitting on his throne, and there's nothing that will move him. So God is in control of whatever situation you're in. God is actually in control of your life. He's in control of your life. And Isaiah says, he humbles those who dwell on high. Those who put trust in their positions, they will be humbled by God. Those who put trust in the things that they've got, the privilege that they have in life, they will be humbled, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So are you willing to sit? And are you willing to trust in him? Because often, when we feel like we're in control, we're actually not really in control. We are really not in control. And in fact, if there's a thing that has shown the world that we are not in control, it's COVID, yeah? Like we thought we were in control of our finances, of our jobs, of our education. And you realize all of a sudden, you're not, right? You're not in control of your health. God is on the throne. So you can trust in God's goodness, not in how good your situation is. So you look at God's throne. And when you do that, you remember that God is in charge and he's not against me. Therefore, I can trust in him. When you look at God's throne, you'll be reminded that God is in charge. And because he is in charge, I don't need to be afraid. God is in charge. He feeds the birds. So I don't need to worry. God is in charge. And I know he's faithful. So he'll stick around. I'm never alone here. He is with me. He is with me through and through. Now, quickly, how can you put this into practice? I have one suggestion to you, is to take on the posture of trust. trust is actually a posture that we carry. First of all, trust is a posture of surrender. When you trust God, you surrender to God because you believe that things are better in God's hands than they are in yours. That you believe that you yourself are better in God's hands than in your own care. So you trust God. You trust Him. You take on the posture of surrender. Trust is also a posture of receiving from God. When we trust God, we believe that what God has is better for us than what we have for ourselves. When we trust God, we actually come to God in anticipation to receive from Him, to receive something better for us from Him. So we trust that, you know what, I will receive from God. But also trust is a posture of honoring God. When we trust God, we actually give God His rightful place in our lives. Because if you don't, you'll begin to find yourself replacing God with the stuff that you have. But we can trust in God and give Him His rightful place in our lives. God can be trusted. His character can be trusted. Therefore, we can trust in God. Now, when you're in a moment of crisis, often God's solution is not to remove the crisis right away. When you're in a time of crisis, often God's solution is not to not make you afraid. Often God's solution is not to be like, hey, I don't want you to feel weak at all because you're in this. No. God's solution to the crisis we face is the gift of Himself. God gives Himself as a gift to us when in a time of crisis. Or when we go through difficult situations, He becomes our gift. Every single time you read in Scripture when God says, don't be afraid, He gives you a reason why. He says, don't be afraid because I am with you. I am with you. I'll stand with you. I'll move with you. I'll walk with you. God Himself becomes the solution that we need. And when we look at Jesus, we see a God who comes in and says, I am the one that you need. Because you know what? If we just go to God to get stuff from God, the things we get will go. You can get a house, we'll go. A car, we'll go. You can get an education that cannot even be useful to you. But Jesus is the gift that will last for eternity. And He is the one that you need. God can keep some things from you. But the one thing that He will never do is to keep Himself away from you. Amen. Let's pray. You could be here and maybe there's an area in your life that you just want to trust God for. That you want to see God on the move. Or maybe you've been trusting in stuff or in the things that you have and not in God, who is the eternal rock. Maybe just take a moment, just offer a prayer to God. That God, I come to you. Help me to trust in your power, in your peace, in your ability, in your stability. Help me to trust in you, God. Just pray for yourself. And if you're trusting God for something, just lift that up to God and pray. God, we come to you right now. First of all, we come in repentance of the times that we have trusted in our own abilities, in our own power, strength. We repent of the times that we have trusted in other people and not in you, God, or in our jobs or in the things that we do. But God, we know that you are the one that we truly need in our lives. So we look up to you. We look up to you in faith. For you have something better for us than the stuff that we have planned for ourselves. So we look up to you, Jesus. Help us to honor you with our lives, with our faith, with our trust. So we come to you, our God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. May we all stand. And I just want to take this opportunity to just invite the community, just pray for whoever might need prayer. If maybe you have a situation in your life that you're trusting God to do something for you, you don't need to share that with us. We just want you to raise your hand. If there is something else, you're just like, I'm believing God to do this thing for me, just raise your hand. Now, if you're sitting next to somebody else who's lifted up their hand, I want you to just go close to them so we can just pray together for each other this morning. God, we come to you, our King, our Lord, a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even ever imagine, a God who raises the dead, a God who brings light. God, we pray that may you show up in these situations. We pray, Father, may you bring answers. May you bring healing. May you bring rescue. May you bring life. May you bring restoration, God, to your people. Spirit of God, I pray that you would be on the move in this congregation. May your people encounter you, God, deeply this morning. May your people, God, see you at work in their lives. God, we just pray for your revival. We just pray for the move of your Spirit in this space right now. You know what your people need. So I ask, God, that you meet them right there in their need. And above all, God, I pray that they'll be affirmed of your praises with them, that you're the God who is faithful, the God who sticks around, and you're standing so close to them, and you will never leave them alone. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's worship Jesus together.